morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our service this morning. To all those that are here, to those that are watching on video or listening on the audio online, I hope you've been able to enjoy a lot of this really beautiful weather we've had this last week. Let's begin our service with song number 124 in Sing This Story. It's the Purple Book. My soul cries out. Please stand if you're able. Let's join together in the call to worship this morning. We will read it as it's written in the bulletin. To worship is to stand in awe under a heaven of stars, before a flower, a leaf in sunlight, or a grain of sand. To worship is to be silent, receptive, before a tree astir with the wind, or the passing shadow of a clog. To worship is to work with dedication and with skill. It is to pause from work and listen to a strain of music. To worship is to sing with the singing beauty of the earth. It is to listen through a storm to the still small voice within. Worship is the mystery within us, reaching out to the mystery beyond. Let's bow for prayer. Creator, we give you thanks for all you are and all you bring to us for our visit within your creation. In Jesus, you place the gospel in the center of this sacred circle through which all creation is related. You show us the way to live a generous and compassionate life. Give us your strength to live together with respect and commitment as we grow in your spirit. For you are God, now and forever. Amen. Let's continue singing with song number 50 in Sing the Story, Come Bring Your Burden to God. And we will sing it two times. Please stand.
When I stood up here, I wasn't sure which thing am I supposed to take off my face. No, I was going to take my glasses off, but I thought, no, that won't do any good. I could still see you. That would be fine, but I wouldn't be able to read what I was writing here. Nice to see all of you, and let me give a special greeting. Hello to all of those in our other spaces, other places. You are not forgotten back there. All of them fit together in one tiny, tiny little square box, from here anyway, and it goes out into the rest of the world. Who knows where this is all going? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your love towards us. Although you are so far above, beyond, and we don't even have words to describe who or where you are. Of course, we talk about your nearness, your imminence, your immediacy, and yet we also want to recognize, especially when we come to worship, when we bow down, when we remember our mortality, recognizing we are human and we are in transition here on this earth, taking up our space here for a time, then we recognize that you are eternal. You are above and beyond anything we can even imagine. We ask for your blessing on our simple yet sincere worship. Our simple yet sincere words of adoration. Our simple yet sincere singing of the truths that we believe. And we pray for your forgiveness, your compassion, your patience on us, because at the same time that we utter these words or we sing these things or we hear these prayers and pray them together, our hearts still insist on another truth, another thing that is real in our lives. Our hearts are speaking words that our mouths are still trying to speak over. You know what's in our hearts. You know what's in our deep, deep spirit, even the one that we repress, especially when we're in church. We open that up to you. Even the things we're hiding, pressing down, pretending are not true. We ask for your healing hope, not only for those that we know, but because we recognize the suffering in those that we do know, our heart is moved even to those we don't know. Around the world, our world is suffering, and we ask that you would remind all believers to be in prayer, to lift up our collective voice to you about this pandemic. Help us to be faithful, loving our neighbor in all that we do, being so careful in our actions, washing our hands as a symbol of loving our neighbor. We don't like to do the foot washing anymore, and we've often talked about the hand washing as a good substitute to show this servant attitude. Help us to think of that each time we wash our hands or we don our mask, that we are doing this for the sake of our neighbor, or when we make that appointment for a vaccination, or we choose not to gather in a public space, all for the sake of loving our neighbor. Help us to do that and put our own self-assurance and pride aside. Humble ourselves and be servants the way that you were a servant, washing the feet of your disciples. Thank you for seeing our young adults through this school year. We ask you continue to guide them through their journey of this summer and into the next phases of their lives. We pray that the seeds that were planted here, whether they were, you know, when they were tiny children in Sunday school, or as young adults making their own choices and decisions and realizing you in their lives, that those seeds would grow into great, strong plants producing your fruit in your season. We pray for the other churches of Swift Current. We pray for First United Church. We also pray for Herschel, Mennonite, and Margaret and Gary as they lead that church. So many others needing our prayers here and outside of our group. And now we collect our voices in one, praying the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
So for the scripture reading this morning, I will be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us to his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may be chuckling to yourselves that I am not done with John yet. I took a little bit of a break, went a little bit off the beaten path. We spent a Sunday in Psalms on Psalm 23, and now, zoom, we're back on track. We're back with John. And for those wondering why, well, part of it is lectionary. The lectionary invites us to read through 1 John, and these letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, I think are often not read, at least not in their entirety. One, what do they call these, commentator about John said, well, he's not writing to anyone in particular and not about any subject in particular. Usually when you have a letter, you have, he was writing to this church, and we know the people, and we know the social setting, and we know the problem, and why he was writing this letter. Well, 1 John kind of goes around and around and around and around, and he goes around the same subject, and the subject is love. It's pretty hard not to get that point, especially from that passage that Val just read to us. So what on earth is the connection between where we are now, which is Easter 5, I believe? We are still in the Easter season. Jesus is still manifesting himself to the disciples and to other people after his resurrection, but he has not yet ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. So he's still hanging around. And here we are recognizing that something huge happened. Do you remember that? That was the beginning of April. That was a month ago. Do you remember that happened? No? I know, a month. So much has happened in the meantime. That was Easter, the resurrection. The hugest thing that could possibly happen happened. And then it was sort of anticlimactic, like, okay, there was Jesus again and again and again, three different ways, three different times, and then on and on. You know, it's like these people that retire from their place of work and then keep going back. And it's like, no, you're done here. Your job is finished. Off you go. But they hang around. I don't know if that's how the disciples felt. Probably not, because this is Jesus after all. It's a different scenario. But, you know, we've got to keep that in mind. So I think it's a really good idea for us to be reading what John wrote, especially at this time when Jesus is hanging around and we're still waiting for something, you know, and the disciples were saying to Jesus, is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this it? Is this the big shebang? And Jesus' response is, none of your business. And my response is much more subdued than Jesus' response. It's not time yet. Things are coming. Things are going to happen, but it's not time yet. Because, hey, we all know Pentecost is coming, right? It's not a surprise to us. The disciples didn't yet know. But the reason to hang out with John, while it's not time yet, is because John was the beloved disciple. Do you remember that? He was the one described by himself as the one that Jesus loved. He was the one that would recline on Jesus when they were sitting and having a meal together. He was close to Jesus. So in this time, why shouldn't we sit and listen a bit to what John has to say to us? When you get email or you get texts, without even seeing who it was that sent it to you, if you read the body of the information, you can guess who it is that has texted you or who's communicating with you. Am I wrong? That's, you know, and okay, let's go back a few years. If you get a letter, remember those? You get a letter in the mail without even knowing who sent you the letter or the card, and you open it and you read the message, you can guess who it was that sent it to you by the way that they talk, the way that they address you, the way they put their words together, and the heart of the message. So to know John and know the one that he was when Jesus was alive and together with all those disciples who had very different characters, they were all very unique, no one better than the others, but unique. Knowing that John is the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, let's listen to his message to us in this interim period where it's not time yet. For those who struggle with computers, I know Grace loves her computer, so I'm not talking to you right now, Grace, but everyone else who has struggles with machinery and equipment and technology and all of that, sometimes the computer will just go boop and there's a square in the center and it wants to update. That's what it says. But really, it just wants to mess around with everything you've saved on the computer. But they don't want to say, we're going to mess around with your computer. It says, update now. And there's two little boxes. And the one that's lit up and looks so like, oh, I have to answer this, is yes. And the other one is not yet. I love that little button. Not yet, not yet, not yet. Day after day, week after week after week. Not yet, not yet, not yet. Here we are. It's not time for an update yet. Some of you are riding around on tires that maybe should be changed out. You go to the tire shop and they'll measure how much tread you have on your tires. And they might tell you, no, you don't have to change your tires yet. It's not time yet. But you know the time is coming. Something is going to happen. But it's not time yet. What do you do? Do you spend all of your day thinking about those tires that will have to be changed sometime? No, not yet. It's not time yet. I had a friend who was very sarcastic. wasn't me. I'm also very sarcastic, but I also have friends who are sarcastic. And this friend, after I had been sharing from my heart, said to me, "You should start worrying about that right away." And of course, yeah, you're laughing because it's so ridiculous. And it's like, oh yeah, it's not time to worry yet. It's not time yet. So all of that is kind of an introduction to get us realizing we're so eager to jump on things, whether it's worrying or taking care of business or whatever it is. Check it off our list and forge ahead for what? For the next thing that we want to check off our list. And John, the beloved disciple, wants us to just hang on. It's not time yet. Let's spend a little time and abide. Just abide. I've said this before, and today I'm just going to say it again and again, because you can't abide in a hurry. You can't abide in a hurry. Abiding is slow. It's drawn out. It takes time, and you have to put other things aside for a season. Abide. And this passage that Val just read is talking about abiding, being together with that beloved. And John uses that word again and again, beloved, beloved. Abide with this loving God that we learned about as a good shepherd last week. That was not news to any of us, but it was a reminder. God, the good shepherd, supplying our needs, bringing us to calm waters, lie down in this field when we would be running around and around and around like a sheepdog. No, just lie down, relax, take time. Abide with that God. When we know that God, we are transformed and our world is transformed in the midst of a pandemic. In the middle of turmoil, when we don't know what's coming next. Abide. In the God who loves us. Our vision of God affects who we are. We heard that at a worship meeting not too long ago. It's a reminder. Our vision, our realization of who God is affects everything that we do. If we think of God as that disciplinarian, that angry parent, that affects who we are and how we relate to one another. And John is inviting us, just come in, sit down, take your shoes off, abide for a while. Because we're abiding with the God who loves us. Someone in our household was going for his driver's license. I know, big mystery. There are only two of us in the household. He was going for his driver's license, the test, the driving test, not the written learner's permit. And we were living in Toronto. And we were driving to the driving test place. So we drove out of Markham, and we were driving into the city of Toronto, and we came to a red light. The light wasn't red when we came. The light wasn't even yellow when we came, but the light suddenly, as lights are wont to do, changed from green to yellow to red. And the driver of the vehicle suddenly, oh, what am I going to do? Panic. Deer in the headlights. You know, when you don't have a lot of experience, that's what happens. Like, oh, already nervous because we're going to a test. Already nervous because now we're in Toronto, we're not in Markham anymore, although you can't tell the difference, they're all connected. And there is a red light, and there's so much traffic, panic, number one. Second thing, what happens after you've panicked and you realize, I've got to do something, and you're already halfway through the intersection, the light is red, traffic is everywhere, what do you do? Well, you go back, of course. Reverse, oh, yeah, only a small bump. Oh, I can't go back because that car doesn't want me to go back any further. And so what do you do after you realize you can't go back? You go ahead. No accident happened. Nothing occurred. We went to the testing place. So you can put that out of your mind now. But think of yourselves in the same kind of situation. Suddenly we find ourselves in a place where we weren't expecting things to change in this way. Or we didn't know how things were going to change. And first, we panic. Or we become alarmed, for those who don't like the word panic. Become alarmed. Even now, day by day, don't we become alarmed by the news that we hear? Things are not going the way we want them to or expect them to. Second step, we go back. We want to back up. Okay, it's time to get back to normal. Go back to the way things were before. We want to do the activities we did before and pretend all of this didn't happen, or we're past it now. The disciples did the same thing. I'm going fishing. And remember what happened then. Jesus said, no, yeah, you can fish, but it's never going to be the same as fishing was before. I have changed everything. The world has changed. And it's uncomfortable. We don't like it. We don't know how it's all going to filter down. So then some who say, okay, I've panicked, check. Second thing, I've tried to go back to the way things were, check. That didn't work. Now I'll just have to go ahead, go forward. Okay, so let's move ahead and say, what are we going to do now? Let's make a plan. How is the church going to look in 5 years from now? Let's make a plan for that. How much money are we going to need? What equipment are we going to need? Well, how many people are we going to need to do these things? Let's make a plan so that we can control things. John says, take a minute. Abide. When we know the God who is eternal, and this is a God who is love, not just a God who loves us. That's true, a God who loves us, but a God who is love. Abide with this God who is love. Besides the 1 John passage that Val read, and that I'm sure you'll want to read again and again, there's also a passage in John 15, the Gospel, John 15, where Jesus is saying, look, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Abide in me. That's where you're going to get your stability. That's where you're going to get all of your nourishment. And hang on to that vine. Because when you cease to abide with the vine, you know what happens? You get further and further out. And that resource, the sap, whatever that nourishment is, that feeds us as branches, that would give us leaves and fruit. The further we get off of that vine, not abiding, abiding daily, slowly, what happens? You get dried out. And this Saskatchewan wind comes along, and we all know what happens. There's just a whole parking lot full of branches that have been flung off because they are not connected to that vine. The wind has come. The wind of this year, this last year, and all sorts of other life events that are occurring. And more winds are going to come. John says, abide with this God who loves us. It will change our lives. John 15, verse 9, just as the Father loved me, I love you. Abide in my love. Go ahead, be a tree hugger. Be a tree hugger. We always think of them as the Birkenstock wearing, the granola eating, and all those kind of quirky kind of people. But here, think about yourself as a tree hugger. That abiding close to the center, that vine that it just loves you and never gets tired of saying, I love you. I love you. This is my attitude towards you. Other things are coming. Other things have happened. Abide with me, knowing first of all that God is love, and that Jesus, manifested in front of us, is also manifesting that love in us. Turn, if you want to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Always carrying in the body, that's us, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our lives. As we are abiding in God and God's love, Jesus' life is being manifested through our lives. The life of Jesus may be made visible in our body, in our flesh and bones. Jesus is manifesting himself through us. But you might say, oh, hang on there. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. That's the one that I want to look at. I don't want to listen to all of this, oh, it's nice and lovely. I want to be real. Look at verse 8. We are afflicted. Ain't that the truth? We are afflicted in every way. Yeah. Keep going. Look at verse 9. We're persecuted. Yeah, we are. Keep going. We're struck down. Oh, look at all of these things we are. Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Oh, my life is hard and horrible. Everyone's life is hard. Life is hard and then you die. Isn't that the way things go? Isn't that the fact? Listen, people. We are supposed to be the manifestation of Jesus in our society, in our world. And unless we are experiencing that Jesus in our lives, in the very depth of our being and in our circumstances, there is no way we can manifest that to the world around us. And I'm not talking about speaking about it, really demonstrating it. It's only when we abide in the God who loves us, abide with him. Well, then what do you do with all of this? We are afflicted, but, isn't that what it says right here? We are afflicted, but, we are perplexed, but, we are persecuted, but, we are struck down, but, there's always a but. And here too, we are not destroyed, we are not driven to despair. We are carrying around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus can be demonstrated through us. If everything was all roses, there would be no demonstration of the Spirit of God, of the power of God, of the love of God through our lives. As he is, you got to look at this verse. 1 John 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, just as Jesus was in this world, so are we. So we don't have to think our lives are so peculiar or so different. Just as Jesus was in this world, so are we. And we know Jesus was abiding with the Father. The love of the Father. That's overall, through everything else. The love of God permeating. Panic. Go back to Egypt. Rush on ahead. Oh, let's take things into our own hands. Moses, we don't need to listen to Moses and Aaron. He's not giving us what we need anyway. Let's just go. How did that work out for them? These Old Testament stories are the heart of who we are. These journeying stories through the wilderness, through the difficulties and the responses that those people had are our responses. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let's just go back to the way things always were. Sorry, that bridge has been burnt. No going back. I've brought you these leaders, this government that is going to lead you through this time of difficulty. Just follow along. I am with you. Abide with me. Forget about the grumbling. Forget about being annoyed. Just abide in the vine. And then we will produce the fruit. For just as Jesus was in this world, so are we. Amen. We'll sing in response number 57. In Sing the Purple, number 57. Go, my friends, in grace. We'll sing all four verses, I think. Please stand. Thank you. please bow for the benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.